Good morning, everyone. It's July 3rd, and we're starting our planning board meeting. Our first item this morning is preliminary matters. We have two resolutions to adopt. One is Bloom MV site plan 82017013F, MCPB 25-080, and the second is Bloom MV Forest Conservation Plan F2024-0970, MCPB number 25-081. Do I have a motion for approval of these two resolutions?
I'll move to approve the resolutions.
Is there a second?
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I have it. Ms. Petum, is there a...
Have to abstain.
Oh, that's right. Okay, you're at the stand now. Okay, so say yes. 401, right? No, 301. Okay. And next we have three regulatory extension requests this morning. The first is Colville Gardens Administrative Subdivision. The second is Bennett, that's extension number 6. The second is Bennett Road Properties, extension number 1. And the third is Hermitage Tax Parcel 6, where extension request number 3. Do I have a motion for approval of these three regulatory extensions?
I'll move to approve the regulatory extension requests.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Ayes have it. That's a 4-0. We're going to take a quick break and go to our last item this morning, which is the Zoning Text Amendment 2508, Exemptions Landscape Contractor. We will be right back. Thank you. Good morning. We're on item number 4, Zoning Text Amendment 2508, Exemptions, Landscape Contractor, where staff is recommending that the Planning Board transmit comments to the District Council. And this morning we have Mr. Ben Burbick from the Planning Department presenting this item. Welcome, Mr. Burbick.
All right. Thank you. I am Ben Burbick with the Design Policy and Design Placemaking and Policy Division, excuse me, first time I've ever had to say that out loud. And I am going to be presenting here ZTA 2508. Let me go ahead and get this shared with you guys. Let's see here. Go away. All right, is that working for everybody?
Great.
Excellent. All right, so this is ZTA 2508, Exemptions Landscape Contractor. Staff is recommending that the board support 2508 as it's been introduced. This ZTA does a couple of things. Primarily, it would amend the existing sort of legacy exemption protections that exist in the code now for certain landscape contractor uses in the RC zone. a little bit of what it does, that it sort of clarifies that it's on-site square footage that is sort of being measured as one of the measurement touch points. And kind of the main thing it's doing is it's allowing for up to one violation to be issued by Department of Permitting Services for expanding the total square footage of the on-site operations that are above what was existing on October 30th, 2014, before a conditional use application be required. And I'll get a little bit into what's actually going on here in just a second. As basic background information, this ZTA was introduced on June 10th, 2025 by Councilmember Mink's office, and we have an upcoming public hearing at the council scheduled for July 15th. So as the background, landscape contractor use is generally considered a conditional use in the RC zone. Back in 2018, through ZTA 1809, adopted by Ordinance 1849, the definition did a few things. It expanded the definition of landscape contractor, but the sort of primary thing it did, and that matters to us here today, is that it created an exemption that basically said any landscape contractor in the RC zone that was operating on October 30th, 2014, regardless of whether it had a special exception approved for it or not at that time, was considered legal. And it could continue to operate so long as it didn't breach a couple of things that were set forth. One, you could not expand the on-site operations as of what you had on October 30th of 2014. You could not diversify your on-site operations to include retail. If you already had retail, that was exempt, but you couldn't add it. And sort of similar to any non-conforming use, if this operation were discontinued for a period of 6 months or longer, the operation would no longer be exempt under these provisions. You know, I'm sharing a map here. It was shared in the staff report. I do want to caveat a lot. This is sort of our best guesstimate of where the landscape contractors are generally in the RC zone. So on the map here, all the areas that are sort of in that medium shade of green are RC zone properties. All of the red triangles are landscape contractors based off of sort of tax and best information data that we have. Obviously, Department of Permitting Services is the ultimate interpreter of whether you're a landscape contractor, so this map may not be 100% complete. And then we went back and we actually looked at aerial photography in 2014 on all the sites that had a red triangle. And also layered on top of that are known conditional use applications, and sort of highlighted in yellow circles here all of the landscape contractors that we think might actually meet those provisions that were established in 2018 that did create that exemption. And so similarly, these would be the properties that are eligible for this. I think we're looking at it as it's sort of providing an opportunity for a legally operating business to have a remedy to kind of bring themselves back into what made them a legally operating business before. With the climate assessment that staff did on this, we found that there were going to be some slight positive and actually some slight negative impacts to greenhouse gas emissions and sequestration, and primarily only slight positive impacts to adaptive capacity and community resilience. The main reason that we have any slight negative here is there are embodied emissions that are included with the construction of anything. And so to the extent that carbon was created to lay gravel or lay some asphalt or create a storage shed that maybe has to be removed to come into compliance with the expansion and violation, that is sort of seen as a net negative because now we're shortening the life cycle of something that's already useful. But all the rest of this is positive. You know, if this does allow applications to revert some of their improvements back to a more natural state, you might end up having additional tree canopy coverage. You'll have less disturbed area, which can help improve water quality and reduce flood risk downstream. The only other thing that we sort of flagged in here is there's sort of a positive and a negative for economic distribution. One of the positives is this keeps a remedy for landscape contractors to remain open that might otherwise have had to shut down. The slight negative is that expansion supported more jobs and now they have to lay off people to kind of pull their operations back. That is seen as a slight negative, but is understandable. So in conclusion, staff is recommending the board support this ZTA 2508 as introduced, including its climate assessment. I'm obviously here to answer any questions.
So thank you, Mr. Berbert. Commissioner Petowin, you have your hand up.
Yes. You know, I'm really surprised that we even have to do this. I don't understand the need for that. It should be implied that if there is a violation and they go back to where they were, then there is no violation and they are still exempt. Is it an issue? Because, you know, I just don't see how the existing one doesn't allow something like that. It should be implied, you know, someone maybe went ahead, and that's the usual policy. Fix it, go back, and if you go back and you are with the same thing that you were before, so it's all good then.
Yeah, I think the...
Is it an issue with DPS or someone had issued that?
Yes. DPS and the county attorney have determined that the code does not give them the ability to allow an applicant to bring it back to a previous state, because the way the code says is if you're caught expanding your operation, you must get a conditional use. It's currently worded in that sort of linear way now. It wasn't worded in a way that if you wanted to expand beyond, you should get a conditional use. It says you will get a conditional use if you go beyond this. And
they understand
so the way
that, but if they say, oops, we didn't know that, and we're going to go back to where we are, it just already implied that you're good. Okay, then you're not in violation. So you're good, good to go. I don't know. I'm not a lawyer, but I just think logically.
Sure. Mitra, if I could, Commissioner Petowin, if I could jump in on that.
Yeah. Please.
Allie Myers of the Office of General Counsel. I think part of the reason for this as well is because this restriction is within the nonconformities and exemptions section, as opposed to being within the uses section, where the uses have those restrictions and there's the understanding that DPS has those certain correct, as Ben said in his presentation, has certain abilities to do require corrective actions to get back to those requirements. But because this is within the nonconformities, once there is, as it's written now, once there is a violation of that, you are taken out of legal status through your nonconformity as it's written. And the way it was interpreted by the county attorney is that that removes the option for DPS to require a corrective action and in fact requires the application for conditional use.
I guess it's beyond my comprehension, but that's fine. You're the lawyer, I'm not. Okay.
Yeah, you know, Commissioner Bart, great
thank you.
Question. Commissioner Petterman, mm-hmm. thank you for answering Attorney
yep.
Myers.
So,
and now we have, Commissioner Bartley.
Okay, so just for the, you know, sometimes I put myself in the audience's shoes, and the RC zone is a rural cluster zone, and the lot area minimum is 5 acres. Is this ZTA going to reduce the lot minimum area, or is it allowing the lot area and uses to be expanded? And so that when I first read this, those are the questions that popped into my head. And putting myself in the shoes of the citizens of Montgomery County, I think that's the clarification that we need. Thanks.
Sure. In short, it does neither. What all the ZTA is intending to do is of those few landscape contractors, and they were shown on that map I showed earlier, that were already in existence in 2014, it's basically going to allow them on whatever size lot they were on and in whatever size square footage of total operations they had to just continue existing. And so they are forbidden from expanding upon that unless they want to do a conditional use application to expand. And this isn't doing anything to change the actual use requirements. And so if the use requirements require, you know, as you said, a 5 acre lot in the RC zone or a certain step back, or there's a certain maximum lot coverage that you can do with a landscape contractor, none of that would change. And so all this is basically doing is saying there already are landscape contractors there now, and And the scenario exemption, again, was passed in 2018. That's already sort of policy that they can continue to legally operate under that footprint. All we're trying to do in 2025 is say, if you do have a violation, there should be a remedy to just pull your operations back to the what you legally were approved to do without needing to submit that conditional use plan.
Okay. One of your statements with regards to the map and the two existing contractors that are the impetus for this is curious to me. It, because if it's just two contractors that have this issue and we're doing a ZTA for these two contractors, who are the contractors, and was there some other method or mechanism that these two contractors could use other than the ZTA? Because I don't want there to be a perception that if you're big enough and you are influential enough, you can get a ZTA change. And if this is a ZTA just for those two contractors, I think it's curious.
So I will say I don't know how many contractors, other than that there's at least nine we've identified that could be eligible under this. I don't have specifics on who is actually using it, if there are two that are in violation or none or one or all nine. I don't have that information on me, and it wasn't sort of what I was looking at in this review. I do agree generally that it's not great to create provisions that have a super narrow perspective to them. In my mind, that was established in 2018 when they created that exemption. They created it for a very small set of landscape contractors. We're adding clarity to an existing section of code that I don't really, it doesn't change the envelope of how many people apply for that exemption. And so I don't have concern there with that, because we're just making minor amendments to code that's already been set.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, thank you for bringing this to us. I'm in support of it, because it provides some safe haven to those existing contractors. And without having to go through a conditional use, which takes time and it's can be costly. So, and it gives them some remedy. So I'm in favor of this, and I would recommend approval. And I want to ask my commissioners, is there a motion to?
People signed up to speak. I want to.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Yeah, we have two. How many speakers do we have? I'm sorry.
We have two speakers already, Casey Cerner and Don Thurber.
Okay. Mr. Cerner and Mr. Thurner, please, you have, 3 minutes apiece to speak.
Great. Good morning, Chair Harris. And Planning Commissioners and Commissioner Petawim, congratulations on your reappointment to the board. My name's Casey Cerner. I'm an attorney with the law firm of Miles and Stockbridge. I represent Woods Blaster LLC that does business as Silver Spring Landscaping. Don Thurber, the business owner, is with me today. I don't want to stand in the way of your motion to support the ZTA, but we are here to express our support of the ZTA and to urge for that favorable recommendation to the County Council. We have been engaging in conversations with the Department of Permitting Services for over a year regarding their interpretation of this provision. And it is unfortunate that we had to contact the County Council to assist with this provision. However, DPS has taken the hard line that they will not allow a landscape contractor to retract its operations if they're found in violation to retain their grandfathering under this legacy provision. They interpret this provision as if there is any expansion or extension or enlargement of the operational footprint, that is that, and you have to go get a conditional use. And as Chair Harris alluded to, that's a very time-intensive and costly process to now require a business that's been in operation since at least 2014 to undertake to continue their operation. Their only other alternative would be to stop operating. And so this ZTA 2508 makes two important changes to the existing legacy provision. One of those is to provide for enforcement based on the total square footage of the operational footprint as of 2014. And the second is to allow the footprint to be retracted to the original total square footage before triggering a conditional use. And this applies, so again, based on the way that the legacy provision is currently interpreted, no matter how small or how accidental that expansion of the footprint is, DPS says, that's it. You have to go get a conditional use. So this is fundamentally unfair when compared to how other uses in the zoning ordinance are treated. Typically, when you're in a zoning violation, you have two options. One, to undo what was done to create the violation, or two, to seek retroactive approval to allow you to continue that. These legacy landscape contractors are not allowed those two options. And so this ZTA will fix that and allow them to achieve compliance with the zoning ordinance, which is the overall goal of enforcement. And allowing for one opportunity to retract the operational footprint will maintain that grandfathering. It also gives grace to the landscape contractors who weren't aware that they were operating under this legacy provision, because now they can have that one opportunity to retract their footprint, and then they can operate moving forward in recognition of that, knowing that if they step outside or expand their footprint, they will have to get a conditional use. And then enforcing the grandfathering based on the total square footage also aligns with how landscape contractors function generally. I mean, their operational footprint, they're constantly bringing in plants and materials and recycling them from other jobs and using them on new jobs. And so their operational footprint functions and changes and morphs, kind of like an amoeba. So allowing them to maintain the total square footage gives them the flexibility they need on a day-to-day operational basis. So thank you. We appreciate your support for this ZTA, and have a nice fourth.
Thank you so much. We have one more person to provide testimony.
Hi, good morning. My name's Don Thurber. I'm the owner and operating of a small business, Silver Spring Landscaping, here from my home in Silver Spring. I purchased the property here in 2005 with guidance from my late wife, who was my real estate agent at that time. And we determined that I could operate my business on the 6-acre property in the RC zone. I've operated the business at this location for about 13 years. We recycle a lot of materials and use them on new jobs. DPS alleged that I expanded my operational footprint by storing materials beyond the operational footprint, which is equivalent to a small patio, about 500 square feet. I had no idea at the time, but I was told by DPS that I had to obtain a conditional use, which would be devastating to the business, very costly and challenging for me. And I just wanted to thank you for your time and consideration. And I appreciate this going forward.
Thank you, Mr. Thurber. So I believe we only had two speakers. I don't know if the board has any further questions or comments.
Just have one comment. It's unfortunate you had to do that. And I'm sorry, that's how I feel. I haven't been involved, but 500 square foot, and something that he was not aware. I think it should have been something that we could have done, that they don't go through this path and process, you know. I just don't see. I'm sorry, I just have to say that, because it's a lot of work for just nothing, in my opinion. Well, anyway.
Okay. I appreciate your comments, Mitra, and I can see, based on your experience and knowledge with this, how you feel that way.
I do, because I have been with DPS for 3 years, so I do not know if I was there, I could have done something about it. But I just see things like this are so small, and going through this bureaucracy of this process to get something right. It's just disservice, in my opinion, to our clients, to people that are in the county.
Great, great. I appreciate all your comments, and I think they've been heard. Is there a motion to approve transmitting the planning's comments to the district council on the zoning text amendment 2508?
Yeah, I'll move to
which essentially transmits our support.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll move to transmit our comments in support of ZTA 25-08 to the hearing or to the county council.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Ayes have it 4-0. This ends our planning board meeting for July 3rd. I want to wish everyone an enjoyable and safe 4th of July day and weekend. So we will see you next week. Thank you.
Happy 4th.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks.
America.